providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are going to continue our focus mostly in the precious metals sector and diving into a few more stocks here as Shad and I are chatting with Jayant Bhandari. Now, Jayant is well known on our show, but for all of our new listeners, Jayant consults with some of the bigger players, some of the bigger investors in the resource sector, especially when it comes to investing in some of the juniors or exploration companies. Now, Jayant, we've had a couple questions come in, mostly focused on what your thoughts are around this recent LE Gold acquisition by Gold Royalty here. Kind of a merger and bringing a couple of the smaller and newer royalty companies together. Now, I know and I followed along with LE Gold, but Gold Royalty has been a company that I haven't stayed too up to date on and honestly haven't invested in either. But Jayant, what are your thoughts? What do you think of this business combination slash acquisition here?
So this is not an arbitrage play, Corey, that I'm going to participate in. And the reason is that I have not looked at Gold Royalties properly. And this company came into existence only a few months back. It became a company as an offshoot of Gold Mining, which is a company that has several projects in South America. Now, my concern with Gold Mining has been that I don't know when their projects will go into production. Now, if the projects get delayed or don't go into production, the royalties will have no value. And that is the reason why I did not bother to look at Gold Royalties so far. And that is the reason why I'm not going to participate in this arbitrage. Now, LE Gold, as you rightly said, has a good portfolio of royalties. For that reason, I would have invested in LE Gold. But again, LE Gold has gone up quite a bit as a result of this merger. I have no interest in participating in this for now.
Okay. And I find that interesting, Jayant, because you do like investing in arbitrage opportunities, but this is one of those that you're not taking part in because it sounds like you're not overly impressed with the end product here. So you're not even taking on that risk. And you have to consider, I think there are some nuances within the acquisition too. So just summarize, again, this is an arbitrage opportunity, but you're not liking it because you don't like the end product. Is that fair to say?
Well, partly, yes, but also partly because I don't have confidence in when those projects will actually go into productions, the projects on who royalties belong to Gold Royalties. So if I don't feel confident on projects going into production, those royalties, in my view, have zero value. So a company has to really clarify to me when those projects will go into production before I can start putting some numbers on them. And I haven't seen that process as yet with the two companies. So because I don't have confidence in one of the companies, I should not be investing for arbitrage because my underlying value should be well protected. Otherwise, I don't want to play in arbitrage games.
All right. So then, Jayant, what are you watching in the market here? Where do you see opportunity? What do you like in the market? Where do you see maybe some new interest coming into? Big picture, wide open question. What do you like in, especially the, let's say, precious metals for precious metals juniors?
So, Corey, what I have seen over the last couple of months is that there's a shift happening in Latin America, at least shift in the sense that public perception might be starting to change about Latin America. Latin America is becoming increasingly leftist, and America is no longer there to stop Latin America from going leftist. So I think the risk profile of most of Latin America will continue to increase going forward. As a result, while African political risks won't have reduced in absolute terms, but in relative terms, it will have become better, which means that investors will increasingly look at Africa with a more with more interest, because they will start to think that Africa is not necessarily all that bad compared to some of the Latin American countries, particularly when they get a nice upside in some of the investment opportunities in Africa. And that is where I think a shift should start to happen over the next few months.
Yeah, Giant, I agree with you as far as the risk profile rising in Latin America and South America in particular. But that leaves areas like the Nubian Shield in Africa and West Africa wide open. And every jurisdiction's different. It really comes down to the country and the local jurisdiction they're working. Are there any companies in the African area then that have your interest right now as far as a good opportunity for investors?
Well, a few weeks back, we talked about a company called Nucor Gold, which has a project in Ghana, and a company that I like quite a bit, and a project that I think is doing very well, and a project that continues to expand. But there's another company that I have started to like quite a bit, and that company is Montage Gold. The ticker is MAU, and the share is about 85 cents. It's actually a very decent-sized project, which should end up producing about 3 million ounces of gold. And they have done about 50 or 60,000 meters of drilling after they released the PEA. So the company has a very good project. The management is excellent. I have known that management for a long time. They have had several successes in Ghana, Sudan, Mauritania, and I recall in Yemen and a couple of Arabian Gulf countries as well. So the management is excellent, and they are very well-connected people. They are very well-supported by the capital market as well. So that's a company that I'm very keen on right now, which is Montage Gold, MAU, and the share price is 85 cents.
Also traded on the OTC markets under the symbol MAUTF. We actually had the CEO, Hugh Stewart, on the show early on in June here. And look, the company does have a very advanced project here. They are moving through a feasibility study going to be completed by this year, I believe. Now, Giant, do you like the potential re-rate potential here? Do you like still all the drilling that the company is doing? What really attracts you and makes you think that there could be some near-term upside here?
Yeah, I think there's a near-term upside in this company. And the reason is that while what they released was a PEA, most of the work that they have done to prepare the PEA was probably a feasibility report grade of work, except, of course, for the resources. Most of the resources, I think, are inferred resources. But remember, the intercepts that they have had are very long and consistent, which means that I don't see a reason why their resources should change as they upgrade them from inferred to measured and indicated. As a result, I personally don't see a huge risk with upgrading the resources. And if a lot of other things have been prepared on feasibility report basis, then this project actually has a very short-term reason to get re-rated by the market.
Giant, that brings up an interesting question about development stage companies in general. When we see a company that's done well with the drill bit, they've done well in their exploration, they've defined a resource, and then they're in that weird, what we call the orphan phase on the mining cycle, where they're permitting, they're constructing, you know, they're building out their economic studies, they're doing the metallurgical work. How do you play companies like that? Do you like to get in when you've seen a resource developed and then get in before they go into a end stage feasibility and first pour and construction decision? Or do you like to trade in and out of development stage companies and then get in when they're closer to going into production? How do you do that with development stage companies?
I don't play that game, Shad, and I know there's something called, is it called Pierre Lassonde curve, which says that share prices tend to go up and then they fall and then they start going up just before they go into production. And I think that's a very erroneous curve, because that curve might be true with some of the companies, and you have a selection bias. So if you believe in that curve, you will look for those share price performances of the past of selected companies. So I don't like that curve explanation that a lot of people give. Because if really, if you think through this thing, if something has to fall, why would I buy it now in the first place? And also, a lot of companies which don't follow that curve don't get highlighted as companies that that did not follow that curve. So I think that's a very erroneous curve. It's a good thing to look at, but I think it gives people a very erroneous understanding of when to invest in these companies. My philosophy is very simple. If I see value, I should invest in it. And I see good value in let's say Montage Gold. So I just want to buy it because it can just keep going up.
Fair enough. Why overcomplicate it, right? Giant and the numbers around that PEA were very strong, too. So that's something to consider. But the company also has a fully funded 55,000-meter drill program here. And what Hugh outlined to us, too, is that they are looking for even more, let's call it satellite deposits, where they can run kind of a hub-and-spoke model. But obviously, they are initially still focused on bringing this Koné Gold project into production. What do you think about the exploration component here in this story?
Well, I haven't really thought much about the exploration component because based on what I know about the project already, I already see a very nice upside. And when I value a company, I do my own discounted cash flow. I use the spot price and I use a 20% discount rate. And I still get a very good upside in owning this company.
Giant, one more point then about a different company that we have talked about a number of times, O3 Mining. I'm a shareholder. I know you're a shareholder, and a lot of our audience I know holds shares. But in all fairness, the stock hasn't really gone anywhere for quite a long time. And the company has a lot of work and a lot of drilling going on. And they've even been de-risking some of their projects. What do you think, Giant? What's going to drive O3 Mining? What are your thoughts now on where the company stands?
Corey, O3 is probably the largest holding that I have, or the second largest holding that I have. And I like the company. I like the people involved in the company. But what I do see is that, Corey, many times I try to contact company as a retail investor to see how a company responds to me. And unfortunately, I have to admit that I did not get response from O3 Mining when I wrote to them as a retail investor. And also, one thing that I did highlight to the company was that on slide number 14 of the company, they have given valuation of the company and they have completely forgotten to add the cash and stock price valuation of Moneta Porcupine, which is actually worth $2 per share of O3 Mining. Now, how can you miss out on $2 per share of O3 Mining value when giving a valuation of the company? So I don't think that's something the company has to do with IR to ensure that the market starts to receive proper and full information about the company. There's a huge amount of upside in the company, but if the market does not know about that $2 cash value, why will market give value to the company in the market?
Yeah, Giant, I agree. There's sometimes those holdings of securities that companies have that don't get fully factored in. But if you just look at O3 Mining, just based on some of the economic studies they've done, there's a very big gulf between where they're being rated by the marketplace and where their economic studies and their projects come in. So on O3 Mining, and then also just in a general sense, this ties into that development question I was asking earlier as well. How do you look at it when you see a company like this that has very valuable projects, but the market's not really rating them? Do you think that that's just par for the course with development stage companies? Or do you think the company can do something to really highlight that and then get more value and traction with investors?
I think the problem with O3 is the lack of proper investor relations. If they did proper investor relations, this share price should shoot up. That's my hope. And the reason is very simple. The share price is about $2.30. The cash and stock value that they have is worth about $2. The value of Alpha is easily about $50 to $70 million based on what Agnico Eagle was prepared to pay for that project. So just based on cash and Alpha, they have an upside based on the current share price, and the Marben project, which is the key project of the company, comes to you completely free of cost. But then the company has to communicate that properly. And as I said, on slide number 14, they don't even bother to mention $2 per share of O3 value to the marketplace. And if the market doesn't hear about it, they will just ignore it.
Unfortunately, that is true, Giant, but still interesting to hear that you still hold shares in O3 Mining. And in full disclosure, I hold shares and Chad also holds shares in the company. Look, there's a lot of work being done in the sector. A lot of companies are cashed up, and I know it can feel overwhelming for some investors to figure out which companies are doing the right work and which work is going to drive the stock. And quite frankly, we don't know all the time, especially when it comes to exploration. But again, if you can be positioned in some of the good companies that are doing some good work, then hopefully the drill bit hits and, well, that can really carry stocks higher. But you do need to keep on reanalyzing companies that you hold in your portfolio because, yeah, sometimes companies just don't work out and it's better to clear out your shares before just riding that potential share price lower. Giant, great chatting with you. Thanks again for your time on this weekend show. We'll chat again in another few weeks. And if anybody has any follow-up questions for Giant regarding any companies they're watching, as always, you can email us, fleck@kereport.com or chad@kereport.com. Giant, as always, thanks for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity.